Good morning. I'm Michael Hernandez. KRWG News Time is 7:45. When it comes to placing foster children with families, New Mexico is doing better than most states across the country. New Mexico News Connection's Roz Brown reports.
A new report looks at data from child welfare systems across all 50 states and the District of Columbia over a 10-year period to monitor changes in placements for young people in foster care. It found that care systems nationwide placed 86% of foster children in families in 2017, up from 81% in 2007. It was even higher in New Mexico, according to Paige Knight with the state's Voices for Children.
New Mexico is one of 16 states and the District of Columbia to place 90% or more young people in families in 2017.
Despite improvements in the past 10 years, the data revealed the placement rate for teens has remained stagnant and there are persistent racial disparities for children of all ages in foster care. I'm Roz Brown.
A Texas congressman says the redacted Mueller report only leads to more unanswered questions. Texas Public Radio's Ryan Poppy reports.
San Antonio Democratic Congressman Joaquin Castro sits on the House Intelligence Committee. After reading the Mueller report, Castro says there are still many unanswered questions.
What's so strange is that there were attempts to collude, for example, having the Trump Tower meeting with the Russian agents, trying to get information from WikiLeaks and other things, and then with obstruction, issuing certain orders that may not have been followed. It's as if there is no accounting here or penalty for actually attempting to obstruct us or attempting to engage in some kind of conspiracy.
Castro says over the next 2 weeks, the committee will determine how their investigation should proceed based on the report. Intelligence experts examining the report call Russia's hacking and social media campaign brilliant. Fred Burton is the chief security officer at the private intelligence firm Stratfor.com. Burton says the detailed tactics Russia used to influence American voters is something he never saw during his time as a counterintelligence agent for the State Department.
When you look at this from a counterintelligence perspective, it's brilliant, meaning if you can tie the United States up in so many knots with creating so much internal discourse here in the United States, there's less time for policymakers, the National Security Council, the White House to focus on Russian activities around the globe.
Burton says voters can expect to see the same type of Russian engagement as we get closer to the 2020 election. In Austin, I'm Ryan Poppy.
Electability is an issue for Democrats in the presidential race. Some thoughts on that from commentator Algernon DeMassa.
Hey, remember that photo of the black hole that was all over the news? That blurry image of a fiery orange ring that newspaper writers likened to everything from the eye of Sauron to a donut? Well, it wasn't really a photo of a black hole. You know that, right? It was a photo of the shadow of a black hole. But that's okay, because we could still say it's the picture of a black hole, even if we know that's not really what it was. Just like we talk about sunrise and sunset, but we don't believe the sun is really going up and down in the sky. We know that, right? For ease of communication, we resort to terms like that as a kind of shorthand. They're helpful, the way reusable plates, which were called stereotypes, made printing jobs easier in the era of movable type. The hazard comes when we cease to understand that we're using shorthand, when our thought increasingly consists of cliches and euphemisms. They accumulate in our mind like intellectual bladder stones with similar implications for thought and communication. So this brings me to the subject of electability, which you're starting to see in more and more opinion pieces about the presidential campaign. So the Democratic primary field is getting crowded with candidates, and there's even one Republican challenger for President Trump. And people who write political opinion stories are offering candidates and readers their counsel on what makes a candidate electable. So let's just state it outright, and you can take it from a pundit. Pundits often inflate and distort this idea of electability, and they persist even after 2016 when people thought it was hilarious that Trump might be elected president. If a candidate appears on enough ballots to win the required electable votes, that candidate is electable. Beyond that, the term is a euphemism for something else, and it should be wielded with awareness and care. So the advice of this pundit is to think for yourself and think clearly. A candidate might be unelectable if they can't get on enough ballots or they can't raise enough money to campaign effectively, but beyond this, citizens are not well served by discussions of electability, so often used to relegate candidates with bold proposals to the sidelines, constraining political discourse and imagination. What are the values we hide behind this word? It may be a euphemism for whiteness, ideology, social class, or youth and beauty. All depends on your individual prejudice. Sadly, as a pseudo-journalistic term, it becomes a means to discipline voters instead of informing them. With the weekly Desert Sage Commentary, I'm Algernon Damassa.
Algernon Damassa's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of KRWG or NMSU.